Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of A Novel Beginning. We are on Chapter 4, where we are going to be talking about the finished product and sharing an author's reality. I am your host, C.R. Rice, and my lovely co-host is the incredible Danielle M. Orsino. So today, like I said, we're going to be talking about what it was like to hold that finished product after months of hard work. All right, Danny, so tell me everything. What was your first impression of having it in your hand?
I'm trying to think back. You see, it's funny because, like I said, I've been with two different publishers for the first book, Locked Out of Heaven. So the first time I held the first edition of Locked Out of Heaven, it's really weird because I remember I ordered it and I got mine, you know, about, let's see, the release date was June. I got it, I think, in May. So I got it about a month before. And I couldn't believe it was actually in my hands. Like, I picked it up and I thought it was kind of anticlimactic and exciting at the same time, because it's like all this work that you put into it and there it is. And you're kind of waiting, like, should the box open and should there be like a ray of golden light coming out and like angels and doves floating out of the box and like this moment. And when it doesn't happen, you're like, okay, here's the book. And then you realize the work now begins. You thought writing the book was work, and then it's there, and you realize you got to start selling this stuff. It's like there's this just moment of, oh, people have to buy this. Like, it's great that it's in your hand, and you're holding it, and you're clutching it, and you're like, this is the moment. And then you're going, oh, I got to go sell this crap. I think it's like that kind of thing of just, oh, I have to go put it on a shelf somewhere. Like, I'm not going to just put it on my shelf and admire it and go, there you are. Yay. It's this moment of, oh, like, people are going to buy this. Like, it's going out into the world. Like, you're sending it out, and now people will critique it. That was that, like, climax, anticlimactic reality crashing into each other. What about you?
It was very similar, because you go through and you expect this like grand, I don't know, like a parade or something mm-hmm. magnanimous to happen, because it comes in a book, like it comes in the box, and I was super excited. And I went in a little bit different with my publisher. So they actually lived a little bit down the road, and I had two options. I could either wait for them to mail it to me, or I could go to their house and like hold it. And I was like, okay, I'll come pick it up from you, because I was thinking in my head, I'm like, this is going to be more epic. This is going to make it mm-hmm. somehow yep. more incredible. So I go over to her house, and we're discussing the entire thing. And before she even shows it to me, she was explaining how it all worked. And I was like, okay, like in my head, I'm going like, I understand, like you guys worked hard for this, you know, publisher, you know, you're doing your part. I'm like, but all I want to do is like, I want to see it, like, let me see. And so she's like, here you go. And like mm-hmm. slides it across the table. And I was like, where's like the yeah. trumpets, like you said, the parting of the clouds, all of this. But then I went and I looked, and it was awesome to see all of the work, because I actually got a little bit of input. I don't know about you, but I got to do a little bit of an input on my cover. So to see it go from mm-hmm. a digital to a printed version was really cool. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then it was, you know, well, when's your next one? And I was like, this one's not even out yet. This is, you know, the first one. It was, I think it was about a month before mm-hmm. It was scheduled to come out. I got the copy. So I did the same thing. And I was sitting there mm-hmm. and I was like, yes, I did this. This is done. And then I had that panic like you did, where I was like, wait a second. I only have a month left.
Yeah.
Which means in that next month, yep. people are going to be reading this book. They're going to love it. They're going to hate it. They're not going to read it. Nobody's going to be around. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to even know it exists. And I was like, well, what the hell do I do now? because they want the next book, but this book's not even out. And then what am I supposed to do? How do I make, and you go through that little bit of panic because you're now you're holding this book and you had your, it was almost like a letdown. You know what I mean? Like, okay, it's here. This is awesome.
Yes.
But then that panic immediately set in where it was, what the hell am I supposed to do now? What,
exactly.
How do you get people to look at it? What do you do? What is going on?
Yeah, that was exactly, I had this moment of, what do I do with it now? Okay, I've got it. Cool. Oh my God, people are going to see it. And then I know for the, like I said, for the first edition, I was staring at the cover. I'm running my hand over it because I had worked with this great cover designer because my first publisher was hands-off. Like, she just didn't care. She was like, yeah, whatever you think. Cool. You want to do that? Great. Make it blue. And like I said, you know this. When we first, at least in my case, like, I had this grand idea of what I was going to do for all the series. Oh, I'm going to have this. It's going to be this ombre design of these blues going into light as the war ends and all this crap. And, it, you know, it's going to look so cool on the shelves. People are going to love this blue ombre design because bookstagrammers are going to want all whatever. And so I worked with this cover designer, the Book Whisperer, and she was phenomenal. I loved her. Like, she did the interior design of clouds, and it was great. So I'm looking at it. I'm running my hand over it. And I'm like, this is so cool. And then I went in, and as I've discussed from when we did the editing, I did not have a great editor. I had a great developmental editor. Cleet was awesome. The grammatical editor, the line editor, was like, okay, excuse my language. They're like, this bitch is dyslexic. She ain't going to notice my mistakes. I did not. So as I'm going through it, I'm like, gee, that's not correct. Panicking because I'm noticing little things, and I'm like, oh, this is not good. And people are like, and I call my publisher, and she's like, it's an ARC. Don't worry about it. Get the sticker that says ARC. Throw it on the back. We'll correct it. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine, cool, whatever. And so we're making corrections, but every correction is costing me $40 because she's not paying for it to re-upload on Ingram. And now I got to pay the typesetter to redo things, and things are happening, and it's taking the joy out of holding this beautiful book. And once again, I'm going through the same panic of people are going to read this. What do I do now? How do I get it in people's hands? I did hire a publicist, but the publicist is messing up. And now I'm just seeing dollar signs. And I still, you know, have things to do. And it's just that moment of, I wrote a book, that's great. It's real. I'm realizing the same thing. Like, all the work that I thought I put in is a minuscule amount to what is laying ahead of me. And that's
that was
where I'm
my
starting
issue
to be
too.
Like, oh.
That
there's
was the exact
so
same thing. You did the first one, but you're doing a series, right? So you're going through and you're like, I nailed it. First one, done, nailed it. And then you're sitting there and you go, oh, God, this is only one.
Yep.
All of this was only for one. And I have, you know, in the realm, there's going to be 39 of them.
Yep.
And it seems like to say a lot that I've done 10 and I'm like, I'm not even halfway, and it's still so overwhelming. But I don't know about you. The covers for the Heart Realm have been completely redone, and I know you've gone through this. You're on your third covers, but I felt more excitement holding the second version of my covers than I did the first.
Mm-hmm.
There was something, and I love my first covers. Like, it's really cool. It's, you know, excuse my language. She looks like a badass on it, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But the new covers, that made me, I don't know if it was because they're like, they believed in it enough or whatever the reason was that they did another set of covers, or maybe it's having so much now that I looked at it and was just, okay, this is it. I did this. This looks amazing. So when you are on your second edition covers. So was that cooler for you or was that awkward?
It was awkward because I didn't plan it. It was presented. Like I said, I had this whole, when I went to my second publisher, I already had the cover I purchased already. I'd already designed it and purchased from the Book Whisperer. We at Book Cover Whisperer, we had already planned the next. So there was a theme to it where, you know, it was the first cover was gold and navy blue. The second cover was this lighter blue with this white opalescent kind of design. And each cover had kind of, I want to say, Easter eggs to the books.
Okay.
The theme and all this stuff. So I had already bought it. It was done, and we were set. So I had given it to the second publisher and been like, okay, book two, here you go. And they looked at it and went, eh. And I'm like, what do you mean, huh? And they were like, yeah, you know, have you seen what light blue looks like under fluorescent lights? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it looks cool. And they were like, well, no, it kind of washes out, especially with the opalescent lettering. It's not working for us. They were not a fan of the first cover. They had only seen it in paperback. They had not seen the hardcover of it. So they didn't like it. So then they said, what are you doing? They had seen publicity shots I had done for a magazine. And they were like, what are you doing with those pictures? And I'm like, I don't know, whatever. And they came up with the idea to put me on the cover. It was not mine. Contrary to popular belief, I did not demand to be on the cover of my books.
But so how was it, though, when you finally had it and, like, you were
terrified. Terrified, because now I thought, not only am I judged for the words on the inside, I'm judged for what's on the outside. And it's me and both. And if they don't sell well, I will take the brunt of both, which is what happened when I was removed.
Well, we went through this. We go through and we do these conventions together. And, you know, if you're in the Ohio area, we are going to be at GalaxyCon Columbus on December 1st through the 3rd. So you have to check us out. Come and meet us. But when we do these conventions, before your covers switched over, it was one of the selling points because people didn't originally – it wasn't like you were sitting with an author headshot. These are these fantastical photos. So when we would go and tell – well, you didn't. I told people because I like telling people. But we would go through and they would stop. They would look at it, look at you, look at the cover, look at you, and go, holy crap, that is you. And it was like a selling point. And people got so excited over it.
It was a selling point in the beginning, and I still think it is. I think what has happened is I got in my own head when I was taken off the covers, and I was told it was no longer a selling point. In fact, it was detracting. That's when I think it kind of got in my head, and I became more self-conscious about it because there are times where I'm not recognized. You know, the first cover, I'm dressed like a blonde mermaid. And my own father did not recognize me. He was just like, yeah, who's the blonde chick on the cover? I'm like, yo, Dad, that's me. And he'd look at it, look back at me, look at it, and he'd be like, no. You know, the second cover, I'm recognizable. The third cover, I'm not. The fourth, yes. By the sixth, I'm not even recognizable. So it was kind of back and forth, I think. Is it cool? I love it. It's cosplay. I'm totally into it. I enjoyed making the costumes, the props. I was into it. But it does get a little bit like I've been called names. I mean, the first cover, they've ripped me apart. I remember a book tour. Somebody went in and said, I look like Lady Gaga, not in a good way. I look like Phoebe from Friends and Phoebe when she had a bad wig. I mean, people have been really cruel. And then somebody went in and went, you know, that's the author. Like, they were on the book tour. And somebody went, so I still think she's ugly. And I'm like, oh. Well, okay.
Yeah, but that's so just, that's girls. Weird. Unfortunately, that is girls, and they're terrible. Because you've changed your covers again. So it's one of those where I have the copies. I have both versions. So I have the first publisher, and I have all of the ones with your picture on them. And the thing that made me giggle is when we go to these conventions, and even on Thine Eyes, which is you. It is you. Your ponytail's maybe a little bit higher, and you're wearing a dress. But the shock on people's faces, it makes me believe that, okay, I understand why nobody knew that Clark Kent was Superman. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because all it is a little bit of a different makeup, and your hair is up higher. And people are like, what? That's her? And I'm like, okay, I get Superman. I get how he did it.
Yeah, it's totally funny. A little makeup. Some wig, like there's a lot you can do. My friend George, who is Jarvok on the cover, he gave it to his family and they were just like, that's you. Like there's a lot of people that don't recognize George, who's on the covers, Jarvok. He's given it to friends and they're just like, holy crap, that's you. Now he's wearing a mask, but like you can tell from the face, like it's kind of funny with the Batman comparison, you know, the cowl, it's him, and he doesn't get recognized, and he's given it to people and been like, this is what I've done, and they're still like, holy crap, you know, so mm-hmm. it's cool. I loved it, and when I redo those covers at some point, I will probably still put myself on it because from a cosplay perspective, I loved it, and I've got all those darn costumes that I made. They're not going to go away. I will do something in that respect. I think it's cool, and as an author, I can't put myself any more out there by stamping it and putting myself on the cover and being like, yeah, I stand by this stuff. But in your case, you got to redo on the covers. And your covers, the new covers, I have to say, are killer. Like,
oh my God, I love
them. I saw it, I was like, wow. And I think for your brand and for your genre, it hits it on the head really, really well. Like, your first set were beautiful, but these ones, I think, I felt were more in line with your genre. And I could see why you'd be a little more excited holding those and being like, okay, they finally got me. Like, they got it. They nailed it. And
yeah,
I think
because,
that,
you know,
that's more exciting.
Well, so I had the opposite. Is when we go out, you've heard, you know, the people ask if it was me on the cover. And I was like,
yes.
No, just because I have green eyes and red hair doesn't mean I'm the green-eyed, red-headed person on the cover. And they're
right.
Like, are you sure? And I'm like, no, the girl that is on the covers is this series over here. And it's been a completely different reaction. But, I mean, I've also been there with you where they do exactly what you say. But it is. It's one of those where when your covers, and I didn't even know, I loved my covers. I still
mm-hmm.
love those original
yes.
covers. But when they redid it, it felt like an entirely new book while also somehow maintaining the integrity and almost catching it better. And nobody even realized it. I think what ended up happening was they decided to do a rebranding of the books, let the cover artist run with it. And she nailed it. And she never even read the book. She just read the brief descriptions. And she freaking nailed it. And
I love
these covers. I will never change these covers. They are. And it's at the same time, you know, holding, you know, the first copy and you're going through and
mm-hmm.
every book, obviously you get that first author's copy where you get to hold it before anybody else. Did it die down for you? Like it did for me. Like every time I finished a book, I don't know if it's because I was doing, you know, so many so quickly, but every time they would send me one, I was like, okay, cool. And like threw it to the side because I was working on the next one. I had already spent so much time on that one. I feel like if you've ever seen the you know, musicians and stuff interview about it, it's like, I don't even care
mm-hmm.
about this single because I've sang it for 6 months. I'm done. I'm over it. That's kind of how it felt getting that book because at the end of the day, I'm already two or
yeah.
three books ahead of this one. So I'm just like, eh. And I know that sounds terrible because it is a lot of hard work.
Nope,
but
I get it.
And by the
totally
time
get
you
it.
Get there, it's just, eh.
Yeah. I agree with you. It's not, okay, there were certain books I was more excited about certain books than others. Not that I like that book better. Cover was more enticing. Or maybe sometimes the story I knew was going to hit a little differently. Like, you know, I was really excited about Kingdom Come. So excited because Jarvok was on the cover and people had been asking for him. So I was really excited about that book. And for everything I was about to do in that book, I was like, well, here it comes, people, buckle up. You know, like that book, I'm like, here we go. You know, that I was really excited about that book. And I was very excited about Forgive Us. Book 6, I couldn't wait. Now, book 6's cover had gone through several redesigns. The cover that wound up coming out was not the one I wanted. I wanted a different one. So that one, I wasn't excited about the cover, but I was very excited about how it ended. I was thrilled for everybody to finally meet Agent Graham and that last short story. I couldn't wait for everybody to get that out because I knew it was bridging to volume 2. And so that was like, I couldn't wait to get that book in my hand and see how it came out. It was also like the typeset was different. There were different things going on in that book. But that one, I was like, here we go. The ones in between, I liked and I was like, yeah, cool, it's out. Great. That one I was really excited about. I think Fire Ice, it was I was pretty excited about, because that was my first novella. So I'm like, oh, how's this going to look? Like, what does it look like? You know,
right.
I have more artwork in it. But the ones in between, it wasn't like, but it was a little like, okay, it's another one, cool. Not that like, oh, this happens to me all the time. But it was just like, crap, I got to write another one. It was more like that feeling of, oh, God, they want more. You know, like, went to where
exactly.
Book 6 came out, I was like, oh, I got a break now. Cool. Like, I was really excited, but then I'm like, I'm finally done with volume one and the veil for a little bit. I can breathe. You know, and then they were like, so when's that second novella? And I'm like, oh, crap, you want more. I got one more story
that's
to write.
It,
like, there was a little, like, crap. I got to hit back to the computer. Like, that feeling. But, yeah, there were these ebbs and flows of, oh, I can't wait for everybody to get, okay, yeah, it's out, yay, to, here's another one. I got to go do edits for the next book. Like, that feeling a little bit. You know,
yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
That was more where
like,
I was at.
I had that with A Love Lost. You know, everybody knows I started my novellas because people didn't like Silas. And I absolutely refuse for people to not like something I like. So I started all of my novellas because I needed everybody to understand Silas because when I got that cover and having him there, absolutely amazing. Even the new cover, like I love it. But when A Love Lost came out, that was the first example of what my new covers were going to be. And I think that's kind of why I was partial to it. Plus, it was
right.
my first – I mean, I love making people feel things and to the darkest parts of themselves. So writing Radnar's story, which is a tragic romance, and the feedback that I have gotten where people are like, I absolutely hate this book, but I love it. I'm going to read it again. I'm very upset at you. I'm crying. I love it. I hate it. And like, that is what I wanted. And so for Radnar to finally get his story and have the first sample of those new covers, I think that one's always going to be a little special in a way. Even though Denial should
right.
be, because it's my first one, you know, it's the first one it was. But I feel like your first book has so much stress because I didn't know what I was doing. So I didn't know what to
totally
do. And it was every time I looked at it, I would panic. And so now, you know, 9 in, it's definitely, I'm just like, oh, I got this, no big deal. But for Acceptance to come out, which it's definitely going to come out, guys, I promise. I'm not going to George R. R. Martin you. Like, it is coming out. But I can't wait for that one to be out. And it's going to sound terrible, but I am so over this realm. Just like you with The Birth of the Fae, I am so over it. When I hold that one and have it in my hand, and I'm going to be like, okay, this is the end of an era, basically. Because I have created this for the last 3 years. And it's done. I am so excited. I think I will throw like a mini party and just be like, yeah, it's done. I did it. It's in my hand, which means I don't have to mess with this unless for some ungodly reason I feel like torturing myself again. I don't have to mess with this world for at least another 3 years. So I think I'm excited for that one. I think I'm more excited for the end of it to hold that last book than I ever was to hold the first one.
Yeah, I think I know for myself, I am very excited, more so excited about volume 2, because that's the book I originally started and then went back. And my original plan was always to kind of Star Wars this and start with volume 2. And then once people got through volume 2, be like, okay, now I'll take you back to where it all began. And I was told by everyone, that's a horrible idea. Don't do that. You know, and I was like, yeah, I really get a good feeling. And everybody was like, horrible idea. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I'm like, okay, I guess you guys know best. And now after being through 2 publishers, I realize maybe I should have listened to myself. Like my gut was telling me this was the right way to go. And I think I'm more excited to hold that book because I feel like it's been put off for so long that every roadblock's been thrown in my way. And a lot of it has been self-inflicted. A lot of it, it's been self-inflicted because I listened to everyone else and didn't do what I wanted to do. And now I'm finally going to be like, you know what, screw it. I'm doing, like, I don't even know if I'm going to reprint the first volume, Birth of the Fae. I may just throw it away for a little while and be like, nope, you're going in a closet. Don't talk to me. I'm concentrating on this now. And if you guys, if anybody wants to read it, too bad. Like, everybody's going to give this book the attention it deserves, and I may be a little petulant. So I just feel like I'm probably going to be the same thing, so excited for Volume 2 and have everybody just pay attention to this one. I'll probably be a little more excited to hold that in my hand, and I hope it's not anticlimactic now knowing everything that goes into it. I almost feel like Volume 1 was, I hate to say it, like a practice run for everything.
It's, I feel the same way. Every time I think about it, I
feel bad for saying it.
No, I do the same thing because I go and I'm working on, you know, we're doing a project together, which is going to be super fun. I think everybody's going to love it. And then I'm also working on two other realms, and I am so much more excited about them. But it's, this had to come out. I had to do the Heart Realm. It was the jump start of everything, and to do it and just get it out of the way, I will never do this to myself again. Heart Realm was supposed to be 3 books. It came to 10. Never do that, guys. If you're an author and you're like diehard 3 book, keep it 3 books. Stop it.
Don't
stress yourself out. Yes, but I did it to myself too. You know, I wanted everybody to love Silas, and that was my own ego. It's because I don't like it when I, you know, he was such a great character and everybody hated him. And it was devastating to me.
Yep.
I should have just let it go. I should have just let it go.
That's the whole thing is that I think part of it is, and we'll discuss it more in later episodes, is you listen to people who think, who keep telling you they know best, and you kind of get caught up in, okay, you're being advised and whatever. So you wind up making more work for yourself in the end, but I think that's part of it. And that's also why we're doing podcasts to begin with, is to tell people who maybe want to write or who just want to know what the back end of all of this is, that authors don't go in knowing everything. This is a total trial by fire. I don't care if you have a bachelor's in creative writing or you've done this and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible. Okay. You don't know everything. You go in going, looking for guidance. And that's why you kind of have to be careful when you do partner up with a publisher or whatever, or if you're self-publishing, like, you're going to make mistakes.
And it's okay.
The way I was always, totally okay. Totally okay. I look at my first book as, and this was what Cleet told me, was he's like, look at it as a yearbook picture. You can't go back and change it. Just think about it as you thought you looked hot in that picture. You were confident. You took that picture, big smile on your face, and you were like, yeah, this perm is great. This frosted blue eyeshadow looks good. The popped up collar, whatever it was. Accept it for what it is, and that was your stance on confidence.
So hold on, I just need to backtrack. Are you telling me there is a photo out there somewhere where you have a perm and bright
perm.
Blue eyeshadow?
I didn't do the blue eyeshadow. I was smart about that. But yeah, there was a spiral perm, and I was looking over the shoulders.
Oh my God, that is
going to
be
shot.
That's my new life goal. I'm going to make Corey deep dive into, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, when I find it, I will.
We will pop that shit up. Yes, we will. It looks good. I'm standing by it, Carmel High School. I am, because there's a bunch of us like that. It was not teased, though. Thank God. So next week, stay tuned. Will not find it by next week. I did hide that really well. I didn't even get copies of it.
I have a Corey
next
though.
Week, yeah, I know you do. Corey will find it. But next week we will be discussing relaunch and what the expectations were versus reality. And this is where things get dicey, guys. This is the marketing. This is everything as authors that you don't think you have to do, but nowadays you do. There's no more hiding in a cabin, getting a big fat check, and just being told, just write us a book. We'll take care of the rest. That no longer happens.
No, it does
right,
not.
Chelsea,
so make
not
sure.
That's not what it goes, Ciara. That's not how it is.
No,
so
make sure
tuned.
You guys tune in next week. Same time, same place. Follow us on Instagram for all the nitty-gritty details at Wonder Twins Event. And we'll see you guys then.
And yes, even though it's after the holidays, we will still be here. So when you're done with your turkey coma or you're out, you know, doing your shopping, we will be here and hopefully keeping you company on all your Black Friday stuff. So check it out, and hopefully we'll be keeping you company from now on your commute or whatever it is you were doing this early in the morning, whether you're on the East Coast or West Coast.